The Marvel comic book X-Men was adapted into a hit film by Bryan Singer. Now Singer has directed a sequel called X2, also starring Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen as mutants. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Many superhero comic books operate on the principle that their readers will identify with freaky misfits, which won't be a surprise if you've been to any comic conventions. I say that with sympathy. I've been to a couple myself. Nowhere is this comic book alienation more explicit than in Marvel's X-Men, which takes off from the idea that evolution has produced a class of special people. They might be telepaths, they might be shapeshifters, they might raise storms or punch holes through things with their eyes, but they've all proudly taken the name mutants, which is like gay people taking the name queers, and they have parallels to gay people. They're fighting for their right to be who they are. If they're lucky, they get whisked away at an early age by Professor Xavier. He's the X of X-Men. He takes them to his mutant academy, where they learn to use their powers responsibly, and where they can bask in the glow of mutant fellowship. The first X-Men movie, directed by Bryan Singer, was surprisingly decent. It was rooted in that pain of otherness, and it had gravitas. The bigger fight wasn't against the humans, but the lunatic fringe of the mutant class, against Magneto, the most powerful mutant of all, played by Ian McKellen, and his sidekick, a slinky metamorph called Mystique, played by Rebecca Roman Stamos. These two were tired of being mistreated by humans. They wanted to dominate them, maybe even wipe them out. It fell to Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart, and his band of raging moderates to keep Magneto in line. The X-Men are all back in the wilder and funnier and more involving sequel, X2, X-Men United. There's Anna Paquin's Rogue, who kisses the boys and inadvertently sucks the life out of them, and Hugh Jackman's amnesiac Wolverine, with his retractable adamantine talons, and a couple of hottie mutants played by Halle Berry and Famke Janssen, who have new hairdos but not, unfortunately, more exciting personalities. The baddie this time is a military guy named Stryker, who's like a fanatical cold warrior. Played by the great Irish actor Brian Cox, Stryker wants to wipe out the mutant race. He's got Magneto a prisoner, he kidnaps Professor X, and then he sends his paramilitary units to snatch up all the mutant kids. The most intriguing part of the sequel is that Xavier's team and Magneto's team are on the same side. But is the enemy my friend? That's one of the movie's big teases. You get a clue which way it's going from this scene, where McKellen meets one of X's students, who's played by the hero of the movie Tadpole, Aaron Stanford. Unlike the more temperate mutants, this teenage fire wielder is just a little too in love with his power to singe.
So, they say you're the bad guy.
Is that what they say?
It's a dorky-looking helmet. What's it for?
This dorky-looking helmet is the only thing that's going to protect me from the real bad guys. What's your name?
John.
What's your real name, John?
Pyro.
What a talent you have there, Pyro.
I can only manipulate the fire. I can't create it.
You are a god among insects. Never let anyone tell you different.
That voice of McKellen's is incomparable. He plays Magneto as royally bored, the major questions of his existence having long been settled. He gets out of his non-metal prison by insouciantly pulling the iron out of the blood of a hapless guard. Then he sails out of his cell on an iron carpet. Singer, who directed The Usual Suspects, is a little cerebral for my taste. The climaxes don't have the oomph you get from more vulgar thriller directors. But the movie is in a different league from a standard Hollywood comic book blockbuster. It's never as simple as good versus evil. The three male titans, X, Magneto, and Stryker, are each convinced his way is right. My only complaint is that these mutants are a little, well, vanilla. I wish the X-Men had a touch of kinkiness to go with their weird abilities. As it stands, they're like Eagle Scouts with merit badges in telekinesis and energy sucking and instant freezing. I guess that's the difference between comic books and $100 million movies. Real deviants we save for indie movies and late night cable.
David Edelstein is the film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.